Brass Ducks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson, sir.
Good morning.
There are 2 points that I like to make with you this morning.
Uh-huh.
First, I join with all those that extend their congratulations on the appointment of Attorney at Law, Mr. Patterson Keith Chetnam QC, as Chief Justice of Barbados. However, Mr. Johnson, sir, I have a concern. I am absolutely in favor with the new system of appointing judges, and with the chief, there should be no difference. But my concern, sir, that with the new system appointing a judge and a chief justice, prior to retirement of resignation, the pre-retirement leave should not be granted before all the judgments are delivered. The front page story, which appeared on the Sunday Sun of October the 18th, 2020, left much to be desired. In limbo, retired Sir Malcolm still to deliver several decisions. This should be a slap in the face of the former administration who had denied the honors to David Simmons QC an extension as Chief Justice, a CJ who never lost a case. However, I do not know if he did or did not make application for extension. But if he did, I believe that the extension completed his judgment, so to speak. I believe that if he had, he would not have been denied by the Motley's administration for the honored Mayor Motley QCMP would only to be willing to say, let justice be done, though the heavens may fall. Before Vince's unfinished symphony is still being played, but unfinished legal works should not be paid. Then the Honorable Justice Shemar Moore was acting as Chief Justice. I was more impressed with him than with Shemar Marson. That is not malice, envy, hatred, or evil. As I look forward to Chief Justice Patterson to be a similar judge as Barbados' walking legal encyclopedia and luminary, the Honorable Sir David Simmons, QC.
Okay,
would you like to make a comment before I make my second submission, sir?
No, sir, you go right ahead.
While listening to last Saturday's news on Radio 100.7 FM, it was said that Barb is considering meeting with the licensing authority to look at the renewing of driver's license for its members over 70 years of age pertaining to medical certificates to drive. Sir, it is at great pains that I have to say that it seems to me that the authority of Mr. Junior Jordan, an expert of the traffic laws of Barbados, is being undermined by an individual in association with some impressionists in our society. For quite a number of years, there was once a notice published at the office of the licensing authority with immediate effect, all holders of driver's license over the age of 70 years of age must produce a doctor's certificate on renewal. What the president of BAP is trying to prove, the law is very clear on the holders of driver's license in and ages. I am of the opinion that quite a number of BAP members are holders of firearm license. Is she going to seek an audience with the attorney general, asking him to direct the commissioner of police to revisit law of holders of firearms license over 70 years pertaining to medical certificate?
Why not?
What a dedicated nonsense.
Sir, why not? Because if one, sir, even before one gets to the age of 70, because I don't like age discrimination, so I'm not going to be discriminating about age, because I'm getting close to that landmark anyhow. But however, there are places where the law stipulates, in certain cases, that tests are done before people are allowed to drive or hold firearm licenses or other things that may lead to them endangering themselves or the public. For example, at the tender age of 17, my driver's license in Trinidad had a big red line across the back that said license not valid if driver not wearing corrective lenses, because I was wearing a pair of glasses when I did my driving test. And therefore it was assumed that I can't see properly without my glasses. There are people who I know have eye problems and they're in their 20s. There are people who suffer from night blindness. They can't drive after 6 o'clock. And they're not 70 years of age. There are some 70-year-olds that are very strong. There are some 50-year-olds that can't raise a cup of tea to their mouth because their hand's shaking. Are you going to put a firearm in that person's hands? No. So therefore, if there is a medical problem that needs to be addressed before a person is given a driver's license or a firearms license, then that should be something that is done. If you're taking someone on a driving test and it is obvious that they have to have glasses in order to see, should it not be somewhere noted on the license that the person needs corrective lenses? So that if they're not wearing their glasses and they get into an accident, the license is not valid, and therefore they're driving without a license, even though one had been issued to them when they wore glasses. So the law is an intricate thing, and it can't cover every single circumstance, but it should be applicable to most circumstances in the hands of the right people. And by the right people, I mean people who, you know, can think rationally. Because sometimes when we get into law issues, we don't think rationally at all. And I heard Barb this morning talking about assisting their membership in getting the necessary certificate before they have their license renewed. It was on the Barb half an hour this morning on Voice of Barbados. 4341-790-266-4862. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I am doing all right, thank you.
All right. Firstly, the pine situation. Mm-hmm. Now, normally when you have are trying to establish a manufacturing concern, you normally have approval from town country planning, mm-hmm. if it's food, health, mm-hmm. fire, mm-hmm. all those people before you get approval
to set up the business?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before you get approval, those are the three of the conditions. Mm-hmm. They said if it's health, like food, then you need health as well. So it's amazing that you would get an approval in a neighborhood like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure.
Which was my concern, which was why I said to her, this whole question of businesses in residential areas has been a concern, because there are residential areas, even new ones, where there are all these covenants that say, you know, housing must be of a certain standard, can't operate a business, and you hear that. And then after a year, you drive in there and you see signs saying businesses. Now, if you're teaching sign language from your drawing room or piano lessons, that's a business. But is that allowed? Does it go against the covenants? But in this case, where you have a manufacturing concern, there must be certain things. Fire arrangements, you talk about health certificate, and yes, the physical layout. Town and country planning, yeah. Because you know, you have to have that. If you have heavy duty equipment, what kind of electrical wiring do you have?
Yeah,
that's town planning.
Yeah. Right, and GED, sorry, and the government electrical too as well has to.
Well, I was just thinking so while she was talking, yeah.
Yeah, they normally, I missed that one, but those are up to a short time ago, were the requirements prior to getting approval to manufacture.
Right.
So I am not sure. All right, my second thing, which is fun for me today, I have it on good ground that you love a good conky. I have that on good ground. my problem is that this is, supposedly some people are pushing no sugar November. Are you going to have a sugarless conky?
I don't know what that is, sir. That's like having a fruitless fruitcake. I have no idea what that is. Please, don't do that to me.
Since it's our independence, I can say if I could get a sugarless conky to you.
I will indulge you on that just for comparative purposes. Look, sir, there are certain things that, you know, I mean, I have to tell you, I am happy I was young when I was young, because the amount of things that I'm not supposed to do now at old age, I don't know if I want to get any older, that's the truth. But, a sugarless conky, okay.
But you know, Mr. Johnson, though, that in when probably, because we around the same age, when we grew up,
Correct.
All sugar things.
Man, let me
there
tell
was
you,
no
man.
Big prevalence of diabetes then, because people used to
walk
from work.
Right. Yes. And so, run boat till, you know, you fall down and you're still running boat.
Yeah, break time, you're going back in class wet.
Correct.
Skipping, correct. Hot, whatever. But all of a sudden now is the sugar. It cannot only be sugar.
So I have to tell you, I am sure the sugar contents, it was why we call them sweet drinks in the past. I have not had an aerated soft drink in I don't know how many years, because to me, it has lost the flavor.
You know? I agree.
I mean, a red juicy.
Oh, dear.
I mean, seriously, and a lead pipe. That was standard fare in break time. You understand? That was standard fare. I mean, I just say it. And as you say, we would run and run. I mean, I remember taking my son to Grenada. And when he saw the hill, and I tell him I walked up to school every day, this my son looked at me with this look that said, "You're a madman or what?" I mean, I had to entice him to walk the hill with me. And to me, it was fun. I mean, it hurt doing it in my old age. But so we walked. I mean, we the garrison, I remember riding around the garrison about 100 times on a bicycle. Why? I don't know, because we wanted to do it. And then after that, we went and played cricket. And then we went on the beach and we ran about and played more cricket. I just find that sitting and doing the same thing on a laptop or on a tablet is not as much fun as actually, you know, what we used to do. But
right,
the walking thing was, and riding, bicycles.
So we need not just for the sugar.
It's not the sugar
all the time.
No. It's the lifestyle.
The lifestyle. Back.
Yeah.
Nobody is playing. Instead, now you get home. Instead of going outside and some hopscotch and thing, you're on your tablet.
Correct.
And them tablets in for your health. So you got to work with it. But I know a sugar month in November to me is a no-brainer. I am not saying it. We don't have an NCD problem. We have
a serious NCD problem, sir.
But in
serious.
November, where most of our delicacies are sugar-based in November. Mm-hmm. But you bring the no-sugar thing, which when I feel that sugar is not the main culprit. So I am a bit lost.
And sir, the other thing that makes my taste buds go yuck is I don't like artificial sweeteners. My taste buds did not grow up on it, and therefore it is an assault to my taste buds. It just asked me, what's that? And I done with that. So, yeah.
As I said, I'm like sure you get a sugarless conky.
I will look forward to that, sir.
Yeah,
I will hold you to that promise.
See how it works.
We will see how it works. I thank you, sir. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now, I got a note again from John that said, someone would like to have their medication collected. If there's anyone who is willing to assist, call, leave your contact information, and John will put you in contact with the person. I was trying to get more information as to where the medication is, etc. John says to me, tell the person to call, and they will get that information. Apparently, the person in need does not want to give out too much information. How times have become difficult for persons who need assistance. I know the hospital does deliveries. I know the post office does deliveries. And I know some pharmacies do deliveries as well. So, Brastax, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Moderator.
Yes, sir.
I want to use this forum, this radio station, to appeal to the Barbados Water Authority. Please. There's a burst main in Moore's Bottom in St. Andrew that's affecting the whole area. Hillaby, White Hill, Moore's Bottom, Greg's Farm, Turner's Hall, and down where I live in Eight Hill Drive. This burst main was reported about two or three days ago. And it's a main. It's not like a side pipe. It's a main. And no one has come to fix it. And really, here we have not had water since Sunday. So, and we have not had any tankers either. So I'm appealing to the Water Authority. Please help us. Fix the main so we can get water. Or send tankers, do something, but help us. And in reference to the conversation that you and the gentleman had, both of you agree that if you do something in the privacy of your house, that is your business. I beg to differ.
Okay.
If two gentlemen, well, I can't call them gentlemen. If two men.
Oh, you know they ain't gentle. Oh, you know they ain't gentle. Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know if the gentleman, I know the name.
Fair enough.
Or shall I say if two males?
If two males. Uh-huh.
Right. If two males were having fun in their house, whether it's in the bed, the bedroom, wherever, you're saying that they shouldn't be bothered because they're doing it in the privacy of their home. That's what you're saying?
Correct.
Let's assume, hypothetically speaking, that at the end of their fun, one kill the next. Am I to believe that they should be left alone still?
Because how you gonna know?
It was done in the privacy of their home?
How you know one killed the other one?
Well, the police will find out eventually.
And then, and then it becomes a police matter. That's the point.
Right.
If you beat your wife every day and she ain't saying nothing, how is my problem? Well, if you beat her every day until she's dead, then it becomes a police problem.
No, but the point I'm trying to make is different from what you're saying.
No, it is not, sir. It is two people doing. Sir, it is two people doing something in the privacy of their home. How we could be different?
Yes, but we talking about same-sex people.
No. You talking about same-sex people, not we. That's the point I'm making. You see, here's the distinction, sir. Hold on. Here's the distinction that I keep hearing that apparently those who don't want to hear not hearing. A gentleman said to me last time we were having this conversation that he would prefer two women to raise a child rather than two men. Okay? Here's my thing. Suppose the two women are lesbian prostitutes. Would not the child, female, growing up in that environment, who see two women pleasuring a fear and then pleasuring each other also not be traumatized? But it ain't got nothing to do with me because it's them people in their house. Until it becomes a police issue or some other kind of issue, it is not my issue. That is the point. It don't matter whether it's two men, a man and a woman, two men and one woman, two men and two women. It is not my issue.
But that is your point. But that what you're saying?
I know.
I know. That's part of what you're saying.
I know. What you're saying is your concern. And I tell you, it's not mine.
The point I'm trying to make Mr. Moderator, is simply this. If two men or two women, whatever, are having, and in this case we talk about same sex now.
No, you, I tell you, you talking about it. Well, why you ain't getting that part?
Let me talk, well, let me talk about it, because yesterday, your moderator called
Sir, leave yesterday, moderator, out of this concern. You are talking to me, not to yesterday's moderator.
Okay. Well, some people are saying that if two people are having pleasure in a house, that's their business.
Mm-hmm.
Two same-sex people are having pleasure in their house, that's their business.
Mm-hmm.
That may be true. But I want to know if they decide that they're going to disable one another, if that's still their business and the boy to get involved.
Sir, it is their business until it becomes a police issue, then it's a police business.
You know, that's the problem with this country.
Mm-hmm. I know.
This country got some double standards. And
no, it ain't. It ain't double standard at all,
minute,
sir.
Mr. Johnson, let me make my point, please. Let me make my point.
Okay.
This country got some double standards and deceitfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And people only seek to make points that will service what they want to talk about.
Correct.
As opposed to speaking the real truth.
Correct. Just like you've just done. Just like you have just done, sir. You have said what you want to say in your way. Correct. And every time I told you so, you tell me don't interrupt you. But you have just made your point that you want to make in your way on this station. And I thank you for doing so, sir. That's what we are about. 4341-790-266-4862. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. There was a WhatsApp message about the issue with Liat that I had to kind of shake my head, you know. Now that Liat is in the air, how will persons who purchase tickets before COVID-19 be compensated? I bought two tickets for $800 just before COVID-19. Are these tickets still valid, or would I get a refund? The Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda, I think, made it plain that persons with claims on Liat will have to wait until after the administrator has its say. I thought, and yesterday was Antigua's independence, by the way, but I thought it was interesting that Liat went back into the air, went to Dominica and came back, they said, for promotional purposes, I guess to find out if planes can still fly with paint on it. This Liat situation is perhaps symbolic of how we are as a people in the Caribbean. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm calling to talk about the road. I heard an earlier caller talk about 1969, but actually, Beckles Road was built in 1967. The ministry then road worked at the time, built Beckles Road, and we saw what they did with the base of the what we call the Barber Green. Actually, Barber Green is actually the machine which they use. A company called Barber and Green made that machine. Now, Beckles Road was done with some thicker stone at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
at the base.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A very big stone. They rolled that and they spray something called RC2, which they got from Mobil at the time, on that. Then they put a smaller stone on top of that and roll it, like how they used to do the old tar roads.
Mm-hmm.
And then they apply the asphalt on top of that and then keep rolling it all the time.
All right.
They put a coarser asphalt and then a finer asphalt and they roll it.
And then the final top. Mm-hmm. Do you know how thick the Barber Green was?
Well, I can say this here for sure.
Mm-hmm.
When they started to do the sewage project, mm-hmm. first started to do the sewage project in Beckers Road area, in some areas, the asphalt was as thick as 13 inches.
Hmm.
13 inches thick, and the men were quarreling because what they wanted to get to, they couldn't get to in a hurry.
Right?
So, yes, I agree, and MPW used to make a very good road back then. So, yes, we wanted Ashford would have stood up because they had to dig it up. Becker's Road, they had to dig it up to do the sewage project. But Becker's Road is still holding. So that is one of the roads that was done when it was going to school in primary school.
Right. You see, sir, I'm happy that you've explained this and the way you did, because I recall Sir Charles Williams making a similar statement on radio some time ago that the base, what the road surface is put on, is where the work should start. As a matter of fact, I suppose because of the business he's in, he wanted to import stone from St. Vincent or St. Lucia or somewhere and bring it in to use as a base. Right, to use as a base. Because he was saying that the substrata of our roads inadequate. And I remember one of our regular callers, may he rest in peace now, who used to call and complain about the thickness of the asphalt being placed. He said, if you look at some of the road surfaces when they've broken away, and you look inside, you see less than 5 or 6 inches of asphalt cover. So there were two sets of complaints about our road surfaces. One, if you have a thin top coat and sun and rain, a crack appears, and then you have marl below it, the water will get into the crack, wash the marl away, and then the road surface will collapse. Which seems feasible to me. I know nothing about building roads, but it sounds reasonable when put that way. Now, stone not likely to collapse the same way. So what you say makes sense. The question then is, why did we switch? Was it just cost? Was it, I don't know, a change in the manner in which we do things? Because now it seems that we just put a mix in a hole and we don't even tamp it into place. We just leave it there and hope cars drive over it and don't drag it out. And the hole then goes bigger.
And that is one of the problems too we have in road patching. Because if you put asphalt in a hole, the first set of car wheels that go over it would form another dent.
A dent.
Another
descent. Depending on the width of the tire. Depending on the width of the tire and the width of the hole.
Road.
Right, yeah.
So we got a whole set of problems when it comes to road. And I'll say this to you. If you want to know if it is cost, ask for the cost of load a marl, and then ask for the cost of a load of a stone and the different size stones, and you will see why it is much more expensive to put stone than to put marl. And not only that, yesteryear, we didn't import the stone. We had the stone here in Barbados.
Yeah.
And we were using bigger stone for a base when it comes to the road. That's why the older road stood up like that.
Uh-huh. Well, now we're paying the price for not doing what we used to do, because we got potholes in the road, we got cars being damaged, we have to import parts to fix them, we have people suing the government for damage to their vehicles, some have to wait a long time for compensation, but some have been compensated. It must be costing us more. I can't see how it costs us less.
Definitely.
We've just repaved the Ronald Mapp Highway. It would be interesting to find out what was the cost of doing that. The whole highway had been repaved.
And go and look at the size of the asphalt that they put on, the thickness of the asphalt, and you might be amazed to see the thickness.
I won't be amazed, I'd be disappointed.
Well, you'd be probably disappointed. And go and look and see what is being done, and you will see the difference. But the second point I really wanted to make is, interesting, y'all talk about sugarless conkeys.
Mm-hmm.
But let's imagine cuckoo with some pumpkin and coconut and some spices in it. That's what sugarless cuckoo might turn out
to be.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I think so too. Right. My mind just went slipping off the side of the plate, but yeah, okay.
So, as a first time caller,
welcome to the family. It has been a good first course. Your meal has passed the test. Without the sugar. Pleasure is mine, sir. Pleasure, trust me, is mine. I encourage people like you who have that kind of contribution to make to continue making it. It will liven the program and change the direction that some people don't like it going down. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Mate,
hello.
People like you who have...
Hello. Come off the radio and come to the phone. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
This morning I'd like to speak about a couple of things that when I were young, I used to inhale, and we never got sick. When we passed by the baker shops in Nelson Street, Baxter's Road, and those places that used to... Hello?
So I'm listening to you.
Yeah, okay.
And those baker shops
that,
in...
And those places that used to bake bread.
Mm-hmm.
Biscuit factory. Biscuit factory baking biscuits. Enjoy smelling those
things. That scent is still, sir, the best scent in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Fresh baked bread?
Hello?
Fresh baked bread? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Get you hungry even if you just ate.
I used to inhale, enjoy the smell of these things, even though we didn't have
them. Money to buy it.
Yeah. When the sugar factories are making the syrup and the different residues in the factory, we say it's tough and distances and smell how nice the sugarcane smell. We used to like to smell these things. And it's really, sometimes I've got to wonder, what is the matter with the children of today and the people of today? Everything does affect them. I don't understand. I used to pass by the IKEA factory and smell the spices. And people live all around the IKEA factory at that time. And I never hear people complaining about these things. Even the same place in the pine, we used to pass through the pine. And from the time I hit the area where those spices used to be sold, you can smell them in the road. You can smell the black pepper, the coffee, whatever was done at that place. I know everybody complaining about everything. My problem is, if the mothers would nurse the children and help build up the constitution, they wouldn't be suffering from so much ailments. That is the reason why everything they're suffering from.
Sir, I don't think some of them have the time. I don't think some of them have the knowledge, and I'm going to say something that's going to cause the rest of my neck to be chopped off, but I'm going to stick it out anyhow. Some of them are not prepared to be parents. Parenting is a challenge at any level and any stage, and a lot of people are not prepared to be parents. They have children, yes, but the sacrifices, so some of the comments I've heard made frighten me as an adult male. I've heard men who donated the necessary ingredients to make the child say, "I ain't sure it's mine." I have heard men saying, "What? Mother's baby, father's maybe." Those things are insulting words to me. I've heard women say, "I'm not nursing because anyone who tried to pull on my breasts." You know, I've heard those statements. People make those statements. Some of them have children. Some of them don't. Those types of emotions, sir, are passed on to children. So I don't think there are some people who are prepared to be parents. Now, on the issue of sense, though, again, it's a matter of taste. I remember Richard Hoad, Lodong, good morning to you, sir. I'm picking on you. Lodong says there was a German lady who passed by his farm, and while people complain about the scent of pigs and sheep and manure. The lady stood and said, "Ah, the scent of the country is so nice," you know, because to her, that's what the country smells like. You know, animals, whether it's cows or sheep or whatever. There are people who find car exhaust to be offensive. If you're dealing with vehicles and, you know, the exhaust in your face all the time, you could most likely tell whether the car working good or not working good from the scent of the exhaust. I can't. You know, they could tell you whether the grade of fuel right or not. So you ever pull into a gas station and smell the scent in the gas station and turn and go right back out because you didn't want to put it in your car? Because it just smelled wrong. No, that may be the right grade of fuel. It's just that the scent offends you. Think of the people who work at service stations who have to stand in front of that all day long, including some ladies who are pregnant. They will find it offensive, those who haven't perhaps gotten accustomed to it. So scent is... I am sensitive about scents, right? There's some scents that, yeah, I know it would offend me while it won't offend others. So I go easy on the scent part of it. But different strokes, I suppose, for different folks, sir. Thanks for your comments. Brass Dax, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, ma'am.
Yes, Dennis. I'm a first-time caller, but I'm an everyday listener.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so pleased to hear the last two callers with a different subject. I've got to a stage where it really sounds like a fed-up story. Every day, same-sex story. Every day from the whole October and November beginning, still same-sex. I want you to have a great, wonderful, bright and sunny day, because that is what today is. I hope the other callers would bring up some of the main subjects and other things that really need talking about in Barbados. Have a great day.
You too, ma'am, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, I got a comment here online that says, I understand what you're saying regarding people's business and your business. If one becomes aware of child abuse in the home, is it one's obligation to report it? Yes. Abuse of any sort should be reported and investigated. I want to make it very clear what I am referring to. What I'm referring to is someone anonymously, because I don't like it, picking up a phone and making a comment. So in other words, because I do not like same-sex relationships, I pick up the phone and I call the child care board or the police and say, they have two, Bajan word for gay men, living down the road by me with a boy child. I think somebody should look into that, because I don't like the fact that two persons of the same gender, that there's a child living with them. That's not about abuse. That's about I feel. And if the person answering the phone say, I feel so too, so they call the people in who ain't doing nothing. They ain't abusing the child. They're not abusing each other. And start asking them who combed the child hair, who give them a bath, who has cooked the meal, who's the husband, who's the wife, who's the boy, who's the girl. To me, that's just asking questions. But abuse, yes. I draw the line at abuse. If there is evidence of abuse, it should be reported to the relevant authorities and be investigated. Yes. Emphatically, yes. That's not what I was saying to the caller. He was talking about if they kill one another, and I wouldn't know unless, you know, it becomes public. And that's why I made reference to people, you know, domestic abuse, where people beat their spouses, their partners, by whatever name we want to call them. One more before the regional roundup, John. Brass Dax, good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, sir.
I haven't heard you for a long time. I want to make a contribution as it relates to our standards. Mm-hmm. And I was on the highway and I noticed an ambulance passing me with a blue light flashing. Mm-hmm. And I also noticed a security vehicle passing me with a red light flashing. Mm-hmm. Now, as a former regulator myself, and I'm certain you know who you're speaking with now.
I think so.
Right. The standards are very, very simple. Red light means, the flashing red light means emergency. A flashing blue light means security. Mm-hmm. And the yellow flashing is basically advisory. And I am really taken back a little as to why should an ambulance be carrying a blue light? What part of security does that have to do with an ambulance? An ambulance is emergency, and all the ambulances should carry flashing red lights. The security vehicles that I saw, private or otherwise, they should be carrying blue lights because they are in security. At the place that I was at, and you know where that is, mm-hmm. we ensure that all of our security vehicles carry blue flashing lights. All the other vehicles around the area would carry the advisory lights because they were not involved in any of those activities.
There's the people who bring tractors and long equipment and that kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Now, the fire vehicles, they are always on an emergency. They are flashing red lights. Now, the police serve two purposes. That's why you will see most of the police vehicles carrying flashing red and blue at the same time. So I believe that the authorities, now that we, the older folk, have gone, I think that the younger folk that are now in authority should ensure that they get this correct. And mm-hmm. that is that ensure that ambulances carry the red light and the security vehicles, whether private or otherwise, it is security, should carry mm-hmm. the flashing blue light. One other comment I would like to make, Mr. Johnson, and this is in terms of our high-rise buildings. Mm-hmm. Any building over 70 feet should carry a red obstruction light. And if you look into Warren's, where we have all these high-rise buildings over 70 feet, not one is lit.
The beacon, yep. That's for aircraft and other purposes. I know antenna carry that as well. Regional Roundup is next. Thanks for the call. Regional Roundup is next. We track the latest and network news from Flow. We continue after this.